The Psalm number 46 has its basis in the siege of Jerusalem during the reign of King Hezekiah. Many of you will know about Sennacherib, who was the king of the Assyrians. He was a ruthless man. He was noted for one whose heart was always lifted up in pride, and certainly greed was something that was always associated with that wicked king. He had set himself to conquer Jerusalem. I'm sure you have read of his exploits in Chronicles and in Kings as well. He was a formidable foe, and he was not a fly-by-night warrior, and anyone who wanted to stand up to him would certainly have a task on their hands, because he was a man who was not beyond using others to bring about circumstances and material things that he wanted as well. And now Hezekiah, all he can really do is look out on the situation and wonder to himself, what way is it all going to end? I'm going to read to you just a few verses in 2 Kings 18 that give to us a very small or short outline of Sennacherib's endeavor and also the resolve of King Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 18, it says in verse 13, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." This was the reputation that he had, and something certainly that Hezekiah would have been familiar with. And then in 2 Kings 19 and verse 16, with his back to the wall, this is what Hezekiah says to the Lord. He says in verse 16, "Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands." And if I can look with you just, you needn't worry about turning to it. In 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 3, again, we're looking at the same context. You have Hezekiah. It says in verse 3, "He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, and who stopped all the fountains, and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" The secret to survival was the river that was running through the midst of the city. And Hezekiah took his people and he diverted the river in what is known as Hezekiah's Channel. Now, maybe you've been to the Holy Land and you've seen it. Some people have told me some years ago that they had been there. An amazing piece of work, but something that under God was owned of God and saved the city at that time. In fact, when you look at the Psalm 46 in its immediate context and you think of the situation that Hezekiah and his people now faced, the river was their sole hope. And it says there in verse 4, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God." And the situation that faced Hezekiah did not evolve into a disaster, as had been the case with many other cities, but Sennacherib at that time was prevented in his wicked endeavor to come and to destroy the city. It's not a coincidence that many of the famous cities in the world have, you could say, grown up on the banks of a river. You have London on the Thames, Belfast on the Leggan, Paris on the Seine, and New York on the Hudson, and all of these rivers, all of these cities in some way owe their existence. They flourished because they were developing there right on the bank of the river. But whenever you look at the psalm this morning, Christian, we're looking here at a psalm that gives to us a spiritual message, because surely that is the application to us as we look at Psalm 46. The language is certainly figurative. And as you consider all that's going on in Northern Ireland, and I'm not speaking necessarily about the pandemic, but all of the underhand stuff and all of the hard work to bring in laws that are completely contrary to the teaching of Scripture, when you consider the general state regarding attendance at evangelical churches and an interest in God's word, God's people know that it's a dark day, a difficult time, and times when people like you and I can very easily lose our joy in the Lord. But as we turn to this part of the Word of God, we can try to hold on to those words. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, because as you're aware, the city is the church. Not the building, but you and me. And the river, very often in symbolic, represents the work of the Holy Spirit. And I have no doubt that when Martin Luther was reading this psalm long ago, that he took much encouragement from that very fact. That whatever was happening, God, the Holy Spirit, and I might add that there's some strong words used there, about raging and about very, very difficult times. In the midst of all of that, Luther would have taken encouragement that the Lord is with us. The Spirit remaineth among us. And I want this morning, for the remainder of my time with you, to try and encourage all of us. There's much about that would cause you to despair. And the pandemic hasn't helped. And there are people that I know, families I know, I mentioned one to you just now who's just suffered loss yesterday morning. And despair has, in one way or another, it has taken its toll on people. I'm speaking here about Christians. Well, here's a verse to remember. Verse 4 in Psalm 46. Christian, you, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And really, that is my text and title this morning. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. I want to say, first of all, that the river makes glad the city by purifying. I have always had an interest in fishing. And one day I went one summer to this little lake, really, where there were some little fish. And it had been a very long spell of very warm weather. And the water had receded in the lake quite a lot, to the extent that, well, it was really stagnant. And there were actually some of the fish there were dead. But that is not the case with the river. Because a river is something that is on the move. It is alive. And as it moves, it takes away all the impurities with it. Not that long ago, I stood at a place called Knock Bridge, just outside Portadown. You may know where it is there. There's two or three bridges, I think three bridges together, nearly, and stood and looked at the river there, and there'd been a lot of rain. And the water was brown, flowing pretty fast. And as I watched there, there was all kinds of debris being swept along there by the river. And I went out again. There's a towpath there, and you can walk from there to Scarva from Portadown, or you can walk the other way to Portadown, whatever. It's a lovely place to walk. I could talk about that all day because we've seen otters there and kingfishers and all kinds of things. But when I was there last week and looked at it, the river wasn't brown anymore. It was still moving, but it was lovely and clean. It was lovely and clean because the moving along of the river ensured that it was kept purified. Debris of whatever kind, I was going to say, can easily build up in the city, in the Church of Christ, but I'll narrow it down a bit and say, could easily build up in my life. And over there in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 30, there's a very enlightening word in verse 30. It says, "For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it." Now, if this was happening in the house of God, inevitably it was happening in the hearts of the people as well. And when anything gets a foothold, can be very hard to shift. Doesn't necessarily have to be something that is very obvious to the naked eye or to your thinking. The Lord Jesus was writing there to the churches in the Asia Minor in the book of Revelation. And there's a church there in Laodicea. And they said in verse 17, this is what the Lord says concerning them. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." I suppose that's where everybody likes to be in reality. And you can see the obvious danger here. "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not," here's the danger, "knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." This Christian church, I'm sure, weren't expecting to hear that. But the debris had been building up. And it was, if I can sum it all up, it was the debris of becoming so worldly minded they got the eyes of the Lord because they didn't even know that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And the Lord goes on to talk about white raiment to them and the importance of thing being right with the Lord. He also says in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is a verse we sometimes can preach and we lift it out of context, preach it in a gospel meeting. But the word here was to believers. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." What a message. What had happened? The debris had built up to such an extent that the folk there, they didn't even realize how it had built up. And therefore, they are referred to as the lukewarm church. And folks, when I read about them, I don't start thinking about one of our local congregations. I think about me and how it all begins with people like me and how we need to make sure in our hearts that the river is still flowing along nicely, that we don't become like that old pond I told you about, stagnant, fish died in it. And Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. In chapter 5 in particular, he seemed to be encouraging the people here to, in the battle, you see, it was the flesh against the spirit. Nothing's changed. It was the flesh against the spirit, and he was saying to them here, if you walk in the spirit, then you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And he says that after he said to them in verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This is believers again. Who did hinder you? In other words, what happened, or what you could say, what did hinder you? What happened that you were doing so well and now you've become stuck because you're not obeying the truth? And when you don't obey the truth, then you're stuck. The word hinder there carries the meaning of breaking up a road. And many years ago, when I was a lot younger, in the middle of the Troubles, I can't remember why, but I was with someone and we were up at the border in Tyrone, I think it was, and little country road. There have been lots and lots of atrocities around that area, and the British Army had blown the road up. Just a crater there. And that was a pretty extreme measure, you might think, but it was to stop tourists going back and forwards across the border freely. And the road was blown up, and there's a big crater there, and the road, if you wanted to get to the other side, you had to go round. And Paul is really saying here to this church, who broke up or what broke up the road before you? And when you go off that road, inevitably you're drifting into Bypath Meadow. And Bypath Meadow was a rougher road. It's a very sorrowful road very often. It's a road that I could find myself on. And how we need the Holy Spirit to be working through us all of the time. And Christian, today, I know some of you certainly and recognize some of you, but mostly not. And whoever you are, whatever your particular circumstances are right now, maybe you're thinking, well, that is something has got in or is getting in, and how I need the Lord to continue. How I need him to work in me. Purify me. I'm not going to in any way try to push the point, but could it be that part of the reason for the pandemic, part of the reason for why things are so dire now, for I'm going to be worse if it keeps going, for evangelical witness in the United Kingdom, could it be that the Lord needs to speak to us regarding this? Purification. And it begins with me, especially preachers and elders. It begins with me. And whatever our circumstances are, take encouragement, Christian. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad. It's not over for us, because we have the river. We have the Holy Spirit. The river purifies, but I want to say, secondly, that the river is productive. An eastern city that did not have a river running through it, and many of them did have, that did not have a river running through it, was a great disadvantage, because a river, it will produce growth. You think of Babylon, how beautiful it was supposed to be, part of it there, with the great crops and the big garden, and everything was so good there. And still to this day, people can dig little irrigation systems and bring them into that plot where they're wanting to plant their vegetables or whatever. And they can see the growth there because of the stream from the river that they have brought to where their plot is. There's growth. But there's not only growth, there's beauty. Place down what we call down the back. I lived out in the countryside and still love it out there at Annaghmore near Loch Gall. and was brought up there in a way what we called down the back. It was about a mile down the moss and across some ditches, and there you came to this river where we used to fish and all. And if you just sat there and you looked around you, it was a place of beauty, just natural beauty. And that is what God the Holy Spirit brings to his church. He can bring growth and beauty. And Christian, he can bring comfort. The Lord Jesus said, I'll send another comforter. He's here. He can bring comfort to you today, Christian. And maybe because of this old pandemic, you feel that, well, things in your progressing with the Lord, maybe they're ground to a halt a bit. Well, remember the ministry of the river. Think of what it teaches there in Galatians 5 regarding the fruit of the Spirit that we're all commanded to have. And in verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And again, if I look back over the past 12 months, some people who were generally very long-suffering become a little bit shorter, perhaps. And there's so many other things have happened. I'm sure you've been to Tullymore Forest Park and you've walked around the river there. And many, many years ago, I noticed the big stone. Showed it to my boys. In fact, I've got a photograph of them at home. A couple of photographs. Some of the older boys and some of the younger ones. And on that stone, someone had chiseled out and then painted in, stop, look around you and praise the name of him who made it all. Beautiful place. Plenty of growth there because it's right beside the river and there's beauty there. And when Paul was talking to these Christians, he's saying to them, you ought to want to display the fruit of the Spirit. Now, he just said to them here, who did hinder you? Who broke up the road that you've become? You've ground to a halt. What happened? Then he talks about the flesh and the Spirit, and now he's saying to them in verse 22 about the fruit of the Spirit and how that ought to be something that is present with us all. And dear Christian today, maybe there's someone here and you feel, well, I haven't been very productive as a Christian. So many people, even in my family circle that I could name to you today, and it used to be the case that there was growth and there was the beauty of holiness and there was the evidence of walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And just now, it's chaotic. One fellow phoned me yesterday after he had heard what had happened regarding that man down in the shed who had sent his three young daughters on ahead and then found him in the shed. The man phoned me up and he was very distraught about that, and that individual himself, he used to be a fruitful Christian. Now, I'm not saying that he led hundreds to the Lord, but he walked a fruitful life. And he was a man who prayed. And there's a beauty of holiness about him. He had a gentle nature with him and a tenderness with people. And there was a great contentment there and a comfort because he was walking with the Lord. That was long ago. Long ago, but he can still be glad if we will get back into that place of blessing again. There'll never be a better time than today, same as so many things. Never a better time than the present. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad. It's about, we're speaking about this gladness. It can vanish. But when the river's there in the city, it purifies, it is productive. But the next word I think of is power. Very often when there was quite a fast flowing river, people were able to harness the power of that river and utilize it. Use it to, for instance, you have perhaps seen various mill wheels that have been constructed there on a river. And when the mill wheel was turned, then it ground the corn. The corn was used. And so it was in some of the cities long ago. And the church, that's us, as we seek to do what we can for the Lord. This power is something that we desperately, desperately need. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Judges and chapter 6. I'm going to just make a very brief reference here to Gideon. I'm not going to be critical of him, but it's been very difficult at this particular time, again, for Israel, and a lot of it has been their own fault. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 6 in Judges, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now think about it. He was threshing wheat. You thresh wheat on a threshing floor. He was away up at a little hollow in the rock. It's a wine press. We give him credit for doing something to hide it from the Midianites, but he was not on the threshing floor. And it is evident that things are not good when you look at verse 13. "And Gideon said unto him," remember the Lord has called him a mighty man of valor. That shows us, Christian, how much interest the Lord has in us, how much love he has for us, how much usefulness he can have for all of us. Verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of?" He's all if, why, and where. On the defensive right away. Gideon was a great man for the Lord, but here he's a better man. Here he's a better man, and he's lacking. He's lacking that power that would enable him to be the Lord's man. And we know that he had his struggles with himself. But in verse 34 it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." That made all the difference. It literally means there, if you were reading it in the original, the Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. He was filled with the Spirit, and that's what we need. That's what this fallen province needs to see. Men and women who are walking a life that honors the Lord, that are knowing the Holy Spirit moving through them and purifying the church and keeping it that way, and a church that is growing as far as spirituality is concerned and is displaying the beauty of Christ, walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and also that know his power and his help. Over in Exodus 31 there, where there's so much detail given about the construction of the tabernacle, Bezalel was a tradesman. He wasn't a preacher. But he had to make articles for the tabernacle, and it shows us there in Exodus 31 that Bezalel, in order to do that, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Christian, whatever you do, you open the door, take your turn at cleaning the church. Whatever you do, this is the secret to doing it with gladness. Remember the text, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God." And I wonder what the Lord could do if we were all to just call upon him in a new way. I've been through a difficult time, yes. Some Christians have lost heart a great deal. I heard of one or two people getting saved, but not many. And I wonder what a difference it could make if the Lord was to really enable us by his grace to look to him in power. What can the Lord do? How can we limit him? What limit can we put on what he can do? I think of my boys. There's one of them married now. Six others that are not. And think of all the boys and girls that I know. My nieces and nephews and many others too. And think, if things keep going as they are going, what sort of a state is this going to be of a country for them to live in? And if laws are brought in that can curtail you and override your own province and can be forced upon you regarding one thing, surely they can be forced upon you regarding all things. Think of the state of Victoria where my wife's aunt lives, and she sent word home there a couple of weeks ago that in the state of Victoria now, regarding this so-called conversion therapy, you cannot pray or speak to anyone or preach unless it is pleasing. What you say is in keeping with LGBT activists, and if it's not, if you say something different, then it's a criminal offence. Think of that. The state of Victoria, huge, huge number of people. She was alarmed. She's been living in Australia for over 60 years. But she was alarmed that things have got to that state. Let's not be naive and think it couldn't come to Newton Ards. How we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. So as we look today at this psalm, I trust that it will gladden your heart. We think of how the river purifies, how it is productive, how it can be harnessed, and there can be power associated with it, how it can bring, and I just mentioned this, how it can bring prosperity in a whole lot of different ways. But there's one thing I want to mention just in closing. Men's best ideas, sometimes after a few generations, you don't hear anything more about them. Some very useful inventions, well, after a while, maybe they're not as useful as they formerly had been. But if you look at this verse where it says, there is a river, the streams whereof, you'll notice that this river, all the rivers that I have ever gone to and fished in or been beside, they have feeder streams coming into them. This river has streams coming out of it. There's not an area of your life, Christian, or of God's work that the Holy Spirit is not able to grant assistance in. The streams whereof, and to do that, and in doing that, bring gladness to you. You remember I mentioned it earlier on there about walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You think of the experience of the disciples. Did that mean everything was the way they wanted it? Of course not. Still glad. Still able to walk in the comfort and in gladness and in joy in walking with the Lord. And Christian, if you and I are waiting for a time of revival, which we desperately need, but if we're waiting for that before we become glad, then you might have a long enough wait. But if you look there at the verse, it says, there is a river. The word that is translated river there is the word Nehar. It means perennial. It means something that is, some of the rivers I know that can be bursting their banks, and you go back in the middle of July, they're just a little trickle. You think of Elijah's brook, Kerith, it run dry altogether. But not this river. This river is always there. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. We're glad today to be able to share these thoughts with you. And I trust that the Lord will gladden your heart, mine as well, as we look to him. And whether things open up as much as we would really like them to or not, and whatever happens regarding people trying to drag the whole country away from anything that is scriptural, and whoever lets us down, let us remember the river's perennial. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to your hearts today. And I'm sorry I can't go to the door to shake your hand. I really miss doing that with people, but we're glad to see you. Thank you for your kind words when I come in. And we trust that the Lord will encourage you as individuals as you seek to walk with him. Could we have a wee word of prayer?